Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me as we wrap up this week, beginning in 1 Corinthians. And maybe we'll pick up in 1 Corinthians and kind of do a journey through the whole book like we've done in Ephesians in the past. Maybe not. We'll just have to see where the Holy Spirit's leading us. But so far, this beginning first chapter has been so convicting because we've talked a lot, and Paul talks a lot about, you know, behavior. He talks a lot about being like, okay, so how do we act in a way that is honoring to God? And all that is so, so good. And here he's getting at the heart of the gospel, the heart of what Christ has done in the world, the heart of what Christ has come to bring, which is a new way of life. It's life itself. And that life is communicated to us in a particular way. And it's communicated to us in a way that if we have the eyes of the world, we can't see. If we have the wisdom of the world, we can't see. This is why Jesus says you must become like a little child, not because you must become childish or immature. Childlike and childish are two way different things, but you must become like a child, trusting, pure of heart, pure of vision. Children don't see things and be like, oh, like I need to be impressive. I need to be all these kinds of things. They rest in the love of their father, and they live out of that place. And so this is the call to say we must become like children in order to enter the kingdom of God, which means we must be able to receive things the way God does them. And here, this is an important point, friends, and I think I've been encountering this a lot, that there's like this rugged individualism being mixed with Catholicism and being mixed with Christianity, and people want Christianity, but so often we want what God has to offer, but on our own terms. And so then we're like, okay, so we want what God has to offer, and then we kind of redefine it. We say this, but not that, da, 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 all these different things. And then we say, okay, God, like I'm ready to receive what you have for me. And God's like, but that's not the way I was giving it. You know, that's not how I wanted to receive it. And we have to stop wanting to receive Jesus, wanting to receive God on our own terms. What this scripture is telling us is that God has given us himself on his terms. He's given us himself through his son, Jesus. And he's chosen to do it in a particular way, through the incarnation, through his life, through his death on the cross, through his resurrection. He's saying, this is how I have chosen to give this to you. This is how I've chosen to reveal myself. And you can over and over again choose to try to receive it in the way you want to receive it, or you can ask me to give you eyes to see. You can ask me to give you eyes to see of how I'm coming to you, how I'm living in you, how I'm working in you. You can ask me to see the wisdom of God. And that's where we've been. And are we asking that this week? There's a way that this is expressed. I was reading this book about being loved by God, and the writer was saying one of the things he asked God is every single day is show me where I'm deceived. Show me where I am deceived. How am I believing the wisdom of the world over the wisdom of God? Show me the ways that I have blind spots. So let's go ahead and let's pray, and we're going to address the last two verses here that we see in the scriptures. We're going to read the whole chunk, but this is the verse 30 and 31 here. What was really convicting me this morning in my prayer, and I was like, I need to live this way today. I need to live in this way today. So let's go ahead and pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we want to receive you as you are. We want to know you as you are. We want to walk with you as you are. We love you. We worship you and we magnify you. And I ask, Lord, in me and in everyone that's listening, that you would destroy our blindness, that you would foil our plans, that you would make foolish our own wisdom so we may know you and follow you. And we ask this, Lord, in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. All right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read that section again, and we're going to see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us on our last day here going through 1 Corinthians 1. I'm going to start again at verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast of the Lord. So what did we leave off on? Paul's saying, consider how you were called. You weren't like the top of the food chain. You weren't the best of the best, but God calls those who are not wise by worldly standards. Many were not powerful. They were not of noble birth. He doesn't call Caesar. He doesn't call Herod. He calls those who are lowly. God chose what is foolish in the world. Think of Mary, a 13-year-old girl, a lowly girl, and people thought that she was scandalous because she got pregnant before being married to Joseph. She endured this misunderstanding, all of these different things. And so here is what Paul is saying. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chooses Mary. He chooses the lowly to say, this is what you're called to. God chose what is low and despised. And I think this is so interesting. He starts with like, God chose what is foolish. God chose da da da. And then he says, God actually chooses what is low and despised. This is why the poor are so close to God's heart. This is why Mother Teresa had so much sanctity working with the poor, because God chooses what is low and despised in the world. And friends, if something is being lifted up by worldly standards, spiritually, is like, this is so amazing. This is so great. I remember one time I like read this book by this pastor. And then the next thing, and I was like, oh, interesting. The next thing I knew, he was like on Oprah, and Oprah was like, I love this pastor. And the Kardashians were like, I love this pastor. And I was like, there's probably something wrong here. Not in a place of judgment, but to say the wisdom of the world, the worldly values, when the worldly values are exalting something and saying, oh, this is so cool, this is so hip, this is so awesome, there's probably a red flag that should go up in us, because we're not trying to be like the world. We're not trying to be like the world. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Through the cross, God brings the power structures of the kingdom of darkness to nothing in an instant. That's why I love in the scriptures, it says, if the devil would have known what God would do through the cross, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devil would have known what would have come from just one drop of blood being shed, one single drop of blood being shed, if the devil would have known, he never would have crucified Jesus. And with one drop of Jesus' blood falling to the ground, he brings to nothing the structures of the kingdom of the world. Why does he do that? So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So that we don't have anything to boast in. So we can't say, look at, I mean, we still do it. But we say, look at us, look how great we are, all while we're in the presence of God. And this is so powerful to me, friends. It says, He is the source of your life in Christ. Jesus Christ is the source. He is the source of your life. Jesus was convicting me. He says, stop treating me like a means to an end. I'm not a way to get happy. I'm not a way to get peaceful. I'm not a way to heal your wounds. I'm not a way to be comforted. He provides all of that. Even the idea of, like, in our ministry, we talk about we want to make people feel seen, known, and loved, but that's not the end. Christ is the end. He is the source and the summit. He's not just the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's not just a means to a better end. He is the source. He is the one. He is the center of it all. And through him, God says, this is who I am. Do you want to know what heaven is like? Do you want to know what I am like? Do you want to know the inner workings of my heart? Look at my son whom I've given to you. It says, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. This is such a relief. God has made Jesus all of these different things. Jesus Christ comes to believers, one as our wisdom. Jesus brings to us a true understanding of God and reality. He gives us a right way of seeing. He brings us the right way of seeing reality. That's one. Jesus is the source. And so what is all in that source? One, he is our wisdom. If we rely on him, he gives us new eyes to see. Two, our righteousness. He gives us right standing before God. He brings us into right relationship. In Jesus, I have right relationship with God. So our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, ongoing transformation into holiness. My sanctification is not up to myself. My sanctification is not up to myself and me working and me trying and me doing all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I need to have effort, but ongoing transformation and holiness comes from him. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification, and he is our redemption, liberation, and deliverance from sin and death. He's not just merely a teacher who gives wisdom. He is our wisdom. He's not merely an example of righteousness. He becomes righteousness for believers. This completely overturns worldly systems of self-status and self-reliance. And then finally, he says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is kind of echoing the book of Jeremiah. Do not boast in wisdom or riches, but boast that you know the Lord. Through the cross, friends, our human pride is empty. God receives the glory, and our salvation is a gift rather than an accomplishment. That through the cross, weakness becomes power. Foolishness becomes wisdom. Death becomes life. And the rejected Christ, the stone which the builders rejected, had become the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the center of human history and the center of the universe and the center of our life. He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.